Okay, we're up to Chavtes Amun Aleph, Halacha Gimel. Chaykon Yirin Min Agoyim B'Shvias. You can
go over to a guy doing the Shemitah here,
and you could tell him, you know what? After Shemitah year is over, I'm going to rent your karka from you. Chaykon, Chaykon, I'll pay you. In other words, that's what you pay. We pay with payrus, right? So even though that's going to encourage him to go ahead and pre-plow that field during the Shemitah year, but Lamaisa, he is not mitzuva in the mitzvah Shemitah, so he is therefore not going to be doing anything wrong if he does do avoida. All right, he's doing it on his own. You're not telling him to do it. For you to tell him to do it would be forbidden. Because then he'll be doing your shlichas. But to do it in this way is okay.
The
field belongs to the guy. Yes, correct. The field belongs to the guy. Avlom Yisrael, you cannot do that to Yisrael, because Yisrael is chashud. He's going to go ahead and do some plowing during the Shemitah year, which he's not allowed to do. There's apparently some relationship between having a plowed field. It demands a higher pay per month or per season from the cholchar, so therefore it's in their interest to pre-plow it during Shemitah year. So the guy can do it, the yid cannot. Machzikin de goyim b'shvias, you can. You had to close it. I left it ajar. You're allowed to be machzik. That is to say, you can encourage them. We'll see in the Gemara a little more detail. We'll just say for now that you can encourage them to do work on Shemitah. Avoda Yisrael, you can't encourage it, obviously, Yidden, because they're not doing the right thing. Shalom v'shloimon, you could be shalom. Shloimon could refer to the most recent line in the Mishnah, which would be referring to the Yidden. But it's not likely, because to say shalom b'shloimon is to say you can ask about the shalom of a Jewish person is just totally has no value to me whatsoever. I mean, of course you can. What it seems to be going on the previous one, going back to the Goyim. The Gemara has two halachim in this. Okay, shalom b'shloimon might refer to the last statement of La'ida Yisrael, but you can be shalom b'shloimon, or it could be referring to machzik and yidei goyim b'shvias and shalom b'shloimon. Nei darkei shalom. That's a whole Gemara in Gittin. We all know it, that you could use the Shem Hashem. We learned from Bayaz, I think. You can use the Shem Hashem or shalom, even though you're calling to a non-Jews. So the Gemara. Chaychre nirin. Rabchia Rabimi Rachad Omar Haresh Ba Tavus. Plow it well. In other words, the question is, when you say you can be Maksik Yidei the Goyim, what does it mean? So one says it means you say plow it well. So I'll take it from you after Shemitah. Rachad Omar, he says, Ishar. No, it doesn't mean that. It means you should have strength, but it doesn't. You can't really tell him you're going to take it from him after Shemitah if he does this, because that looks too much like Shlichas. So that's a machlokas over here. So the Gemara now, using this machlokas, so going to the following statement of the Mishnah, you could inquire to the welfare. Mandi Amar Haresh Batavos, the one who says plow it well. I'll take it from Shemitah. Ma'u Shalom Mishlaiman. So what does it mean? You could say how you're doing. I mean, that seems to be obvious, right? If you can make such a statement, you surely can ask how they're doing. So the Gemara says, Aisha. It means you could say you should have strength, like Yashukayak, right? Okay. In 15, he talks about the three rulings. That there's one, talking to the non-Jews, two, not to talk to the Jew, three, that you can inquire to the welfare. The Gemara is going ahead here at this point and saying that you can inquire to the welfare of the non-Jews. So, may you be strengthened. Okay, fine.
you're going to rent this field. If he doesn't have any strength, he's not going
to
be able to buy.
Yeah, whatever. The Derech Hamuna says that you get the chiddush is that you're giving him a bracha. So that seems to be a little bit more okay. Madi Omar Ishar, but if you hold like the second shita that you can only say Yeshkayach, so Ma'ar Shleimon is Shleimon. What does that mean? So the Gemara is assuming that you would not be allowed to use the Shem Hashem referring to the Goyim for some reason. V'shleim Yisrael, Shalom Aleichem. Then it's not going on the first statement, it's going on the last statement. It's referring to the Yidden, and you could be Shalom in their Shalom, even though they perhaps are Avrayonim and they're working, you could still be friendly to them.
Is it possible an Arab?
Is what? Yeah, you could do that. No problem. The Gemara in Gittin says you could do that. In fact, the Gemara in Gittin says you could do that even afil biyom edehim, even on their holiday. That's a whole sugya in Yeridaya, and it's all mafresh. He has a conclusion over here. Let's see over here. What's one thing I want to mention over here? It's not overly enthusiastic. That's what he says. It's low key. The greeting has to be low key. All right, next. Dalma. So here's an incident. Rab Chinana bar Papa Rab Shmuel bar Nachman Avron Alchad Mekoshe Shvia. So they're going by, and they're walking along, and they find this Jew who's being over. He's plowing during the Shemitah year. Amar Lei Rab Shmuel. So Shmuel bar Nachman says to him, Ishar, you should have strength. So, he says in the footnote that he wasn't actually plowing at that moment. Anyway, Amar Rab Chanina bar Papa Lokei Nofan Rebbe. Didn't Rebbe, he objected to this behavior. Didn't Rebbe teach us, a Rabbi, it says here, did the teacher not teach us in this, dashing this Pasuk in Tehillim? It has it on the bottom here on the Torah or Shalom. But like Amru Ha'Avram Birkas Hashem Aleichem, Be'rachnu Eschem B'Shem Hashem. Which he says the Pashup Shad is, 22, he says the simple meaning is like this. The enemies of Israel are compared to grass that grows on the rooftops, which dries out quickly, of which passerbys have never said Hashem's blessing is upon you. So, something like that. So V'lo Amru Ha'Avram Birkas Hashem Aleichem is referring to that kind of grass, you know, right? So we're dashing now the pasuk, and we're saying that Ha'Avram, it means those who are being over on the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and being over Averis and not keeping Shemitah properly. Mikan she'asu leim l'chor she'shaviyas ishar. So you see the pasuk is saying V'lo Amru Ha'Avram, that the people who see the Avram who are being not doing keeping the halacha, they won't say Berachas Hashem Aleichem. They won't say that there should be a bracha. You should have a bracha, right? So why are you saying Ishar to this guy who's being over? That's what he was objecting. Amale likrei satredeya. You know how to read pasukim. Lidra shiatredeya. But to darshan, you don't know what you're talking about. I love that. You know how to read, but you don't know how to darshan. The word Avram is translated not as transgressors, but as those who pass. What does it mean, those who pass? So he explains it. Lo Amru Ha'Avram, it means, Elo Dechachom Shein Avram and Ha'Elam. These are the Goyim who go pass through the world. It means once they die, they go gone forever. Lo Amru Yisrael, they never told Klai Yisrael, Berachas Hashem Aleichem. They never gave Klai Yisrael like a blessing for all that we do for them. My Yisrael, Aymon Lehem, what does Yisrael say back to them? Be'rachnu Eskam Shem Hashem. We have blessed you. In other words, they are arguing that all the brachas that happened to the Goyim happened as a result of the Yidden. The Rav Yeshiva used to say that if the Goyim knew what we do for them on our Rosh Hashanah and Davening, they would donate all the Machzayrim. That's a famous thing. That's what he used to say. Okay, lo dayechem. Is it not enough? Kol brachas habayis la'olam b'shvileinu. It's an our merit. You don't say anything. You don't give us any credit for anything. Not only that, you put taxes and fines and tithes. You load up things on us. You have no hakar satov for what we do for society. Sounds familiar? So basically what he's saying back to him is he's answering him back. He's saying, there's no problem of saying Ishar to a person who's an Avayan, because the Pasuk has nothing to do with that. I don't know exactly whether he misunderstood what Rabbi had said to them, or whether he held that Rabbi never said this. I'm not sure exactly what does he do with the Rabbi thing. Right? Not sure. Then the Gemara adds a statement, which is Onoma base 29b. So it says, Hari Rabimi Lirdos Imo. Rabimi went ahead and gave a Hira that you can, it says in our English at the top, that you can detach honey from a beehive together with the non-Jew. In other words, if a beehive had halacha like Mechubala Karka, so you wouldn't be able to work with them in something which is Mechubala Karka during the Shemitah year. But since we paskin that it's a machlokes tanon, whether a beehive has a halacha like Mechubala Karka or not, since we paskin that it is not like that, so therefore it's mutter.
Where's that beehive? What's the shiloh?
Whether beehive is Mechubala?
It's not working the field. I mean,
if it's considered Mechubala Karka, then maybe it would be considered working with the ground. In other words, is there an assay of Shoso Haaretz? Does that include the beehive? So that's going to be a Machlokes Tanoim. He paskin that it was mutter. That's one shot, right? We're about to say that. So others say that this is total. The thing Moshe brings that this is totally out of place, and this is really referring to a whole Maisa in a Gemara of Avodah Zarah. And since the Gemara quoted it here, so it brought the beginning of the story, so it quoted it here already, the whole story. The other pshat, which you look at the name Moshe, you'll see he says, the last line, he says, Kocha timso b'hai shas, l'meyos meyos makamos. You'll find hundreds of places in this shas in Yerushalmi that they'll schlep along statements that have nothing to do with the sugi at all, but because it was mentioned someplace else, they throw it in also.
Where is that?
The fourth line down of the Pnei Moshe. You see? And then the Gra, which is actually brought in the way the Rambam quotes it, the Rambam quotes what the Vilna Gaon says over here on the bottom, the Bir HaGrois, he says, L'radasimai pirsh shemutala sakin l'kli machrisha. This is the best pshat. That the pshat is, that this way it makes sense, that you can fix the plow during the Shemitah year for the guy, even though you know the guy is going to use that plow, but since you're not telling him what to do, he's using it on his own, no problem. Okay, so that would be the finish of that. Halacha Dalet. Hamedo B'Zeisim. Now, over here, all you're doing is you're trying to get firewood, apparently. That's your goal. And apparently olive trees were used for firewood. Anyway, so it was densely planted, and when you have densely planted trees, you take out every other tree to make room for the other trees to grow, right? Madel. We've had that language many times. Madel b'zeisim, reisham ayarim yigom. So there's a certain way in which you have to cut it, meaning you can't cut it, you can't uproot it from the ground, because if you uproot it from the ground, you're going to end up making the ground, looks like you're preparing the ground for plowing, for working, and for zriya. So you cut it, what's his translation is?
Raise.
He raises it, and he cannot uproot it, okay? So I'm a Yisharish, you cannot uproot it. Everybody knows why you're uprooting it. It's muchach from the context that you're not going to be planting there. And it's a small...
It's based on the pattern of how you cut it.
It's more based on the fact, it's Madel, number one. But number two, it's a small area, and you're not going to be making, you're not going to be planting in this small area. Umodim b'maklif, but they're Maida, if you clear a whole big area, then, of course, you can't uproot the tree if you're clearing a large area. Another mission explains a little more. He's over Medel. What is considered thinning, where it's mutter according to Beis Hill to take it out, to uproot it? Efereishnayim, the one or two trees. Hamachlik, and what is clearing? Shlosha zavetzan zed. There will be three adjacent trees in a row. That's where Beis Hill would say it's awesome. They'd be masking to Beis Shammayim that you would have to leave the stump or something like that. That's if it's your own field. But mitoch shel chaveiro, afamachlik yisharish. If you're going to your friend's field, then even if you're clearing out a patch, you can uproot it because you're not going to. Ordinarily, a person does not benefit someone else's field. That's the way he writes it in 10. Not in a forbidden way, nor in a permitted way. Thus, if he does cut trees down, it's obviously for the wood. He can uproot them even if there's three adjacent ones. Okay, so that's what he writes over here. Next, Hamavkia Bezesim. Let's suppose I take my axe, I chop a branch off of one of my olive trees in order to use it for firewood. So now, of course, anybody that knows anything about trees knows if you cut off a branch and you leave it with a wounded tree, then it's gonna leak sap right out of that hole, and you're gonna really hurt your tree. So what do? So you smear dirt on it, and nowadays they sell paint. It's called pruning paint, I think, is what they call it. And you paint the area with the pruning paint, and that seals it up and makes it so you don't have any leakage of sap. You know that? Come on, man. Okay. So what you're not allowed to do that, lo yechafenu ba'ofer, you're not allowed to cover it with the earth and the mud. Because anything that improves the tree, you can't do. To maintain the tree, you can do. So that's considered maintaining the tree, is sealing it with these stones and the straw. Hakaitis karas shikma, this is a similar halacha. So this is a sycamore tree. So this is an old sycamore tree. And what they used to do is they used to cut the sycamore tree at the trunk, and it used to grow back, cut it again, and they used to get multiple beams out of the same sycamore tree over and over and over again. So that you can do, but if you do that, again, the same problem. You don't want, you're going to have a wounded sycamore tree. So lo yechapeh ba'ofer, again, you shouldn't use the dirt. Now, if you've never cut the sycamore tree before, this is its first time. It's called, colloquially, because it's the first time, you call it a basula. So it's basula shikma. It's the first time that you're cutting the tree. So you're not allowed to do that on shmias. That is considered labor. I'm not exactly sure the idea behind calling it labor. I think that he seems to say in the footnote that he's actually being over an Issa D'oraisa. In other words, the Avoida, which is Mefurish in the Pasuk, Karmachalo Sizmor, right? So, therefore, it's considered Zomer, it's considered pruning.
It's like an Av
Malacha, you mean? So, it's like an Av Malacha, right? So, the Avoida here, you're doing the Avoida, which is forbidden in the Torah, and therefore you can't do that. If you don't Kedark Osir, doing it regularly is Osir. Either go up high 10 tefachim or above, so you're leaving quite a bit of tree below, or go mimeharetz, you go and do it right even with the ground. In that case, you're doing it a little differently than normal, and that would be mutter. Okay. Hamedo was a sinzok de gemar. Mahu hamedo, what does that mean? Noitel echadom miniach shnayim. You could take one and leave two, meaning you have three trees. You'll take the middle tree number two, and you'll be left with tree number one and tree number three. So that's taking one, leaving two. That's one way of doing it. Or you'll take a tree number one and tree number three, you'll uproot those, and you'll be left with tree number two. Then you'll be removing two trees and be left with one tree, allowing every third tree to remain. So now, Tony Deves Rebbe. So the Brisa says, that you take off one, meaning he doesn't agree with the previous choices. You only can do it one way, and I think that's the idea here. The Braisa seems to contradict the Gemara statement. That's what he says over here. It's Noita Lechad Uminiach Shnayim. That's the only way to do it.
But that's what he said.
He gave another option to take two and leave one. He's not allowing that.
Uh-huh.
Right?
And what would be the pattern in his Shita? What would you take?
Which Shita?
You take the one. Which one is it?
Take the one. You take the middle one. So it's 1, 3, 5, 7. You'll take out 2, 4, 6, right? You'll take out the even trees. The Gemara then says, "V'hatninon hamachlik." What's the case of where Beis Hill says you can't do it the regular way, where you cannot be mesharish? The Mishnah says, "Shloisha zev tzadzeh," three of them right next to each other. Hamedal neitel shnayim u'miniach echad. But if you took two and left one, that would be allowed. So that sounds like, that sounds not like the Braisa, right? The Mishnah seemed to indicate that it was mutter. So what's going on over here? That's the Gemara seems asking Akasha. My answer is, I'm Rav Yoina, Masnisa b'meido batchila. Our Mishnah is talking about removing two trees and allowing one to remain, is referring to a grove that is being thinned for the first time. Since it's planted very densely, you can remove two of the trees, two out of three. Umad etoni devei Rebbe, deveis Rebbe, v'meid omikvar. And listen, Rebbe said that you can only take one out of the three, and you have to leave two behind. That's talking about a grove where there already had been thinning already.
The old Metzias question.
And that's where the Olam seems to stop. Okay? Yeah.